All right, Mario Lopez here. Excited right now to welcome my buddy Jimmy Benya to the podcast. I've known this dude for a long time now. We co-authored a few books together. Both have a pretty strong passion for faith and fitness, so we're going to get into all that. And the major health issues that, ironically, this being his field, ended up taking a toll on his life, his career, everything. So let's get into it.
Listen to Mario!
Benya!
What's up?
Welcome, brother. You know we're good friends when I just call you by your last name.
That's right.
Because I only call my dear friends either by their last name or give them a nickname. And you've always been Benya, which is a good one. Why are you laughing?
I'm not laughing.
Sounded like a laugh. So, dude, I was trying to... I've known you how long now? Since when did we do our book?
About 15 years, almost.
Damn! Yeah. 15 years? Yeah. Really?
I think we started with Knockout Fitness.
That's exactly it. My very first health and fitness book called Knockout Fitness. Really excited to write. And they wanted me to partner up with a guy who is very much respected in that field and who's a great writer. And I remember Men's Health and a lot of publications recommended a guy named Jimmy Benya. And I'm like, oh, okay, he's Latino. That's tight. I said, Jimmy Peña. I said, let's meet him. And then we met in person. And I was like, all right, man, I like this guy. He had a good energy. What'd you think who's this dude Mario Lopez I got to work with?
Yeah, I remember the first thing, I walked up the stairs, and the first thing you ever said to me is like, great, you're prompt, right? It's coming from the guy that's never on time.
First of all, I'm always on time. You're such a lying rat bastard. That's how you're going to start? No. I just gave you a nicer deduction. I am always on time. Life gets in the way, or show business sometimes. Which, by the way, you were giving me a hard time with that expression.
Right.
And the reason I say show business is unfortunately, and I tell this to my family and friends all the time, schedule is unpredictable. It's fluid. It changes. Especially when you're doing a show that's topical, stuff comes up and you got to retrack and you got to reshoot and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
It's not my doing. You know that.
Moment
You've known that over the years.
Show business.
You're so stupid. You're so stupid.
Anyway, so you came in. You remember? What do you remember about that?
Yeah, no, it's great. I brought flowers to your mom.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
you brought flowers to my mom. My mom didn't live with me. It's just you.
Being a
gentleman.
She happened to be there, you know, and it's great. I couldn't believe it. It was a great opportunity. I thought, wow, I'm going to do some good books. And in fact, that opportunity actually opened up the doors for other ghostwriting gigs and other. So yeah, it was a great time. It was when fitness was big. For both of us.
well, we're gonna get to that in a second. But and also we parlayed that into a couple of books and wrote a book called Extra Lean together, which proud to say New York Times bestseller. And that was essentially all about creating meals and having a healthy approach to your meals, which, you know what I liked a lot about that book is that, look, there's a million diets out there and we've said that, yeah, they can work for like a hot second, but diets don't work. People work.
Yep.
And it's all about the lifestyle.
Yep.
And if you essentially just don't eat like an idiot and try to graze every 3 hours like a goat, right? And your plate looks sensible with a portion control, also with a healthy combo of fat, carbs, and protein, then you'll be fine. And try to break a sweat every day. And it really is that simple, right?
You wanted to do that book at a time when fads really started becoming the thing. And you said, you know what? I want to, you're a foodie. I'm a foodie. And
yes,
so you said, let's
do it.
I love
food, right?
You know, I look at it like the Treasury Department looks at counterfeits. You know, they don't spend all the time looking at counterfeit bills. They study the real thing so that when a fake crosses their desk, they know it. That's how I look at diet fads.
Right.
And that's why Extra Lean did so well, because it really taught people, hey, this is balance. This is reality. You know, you can walk into a restaurant and realize what foods do to you and how you can, you know, absorb protein, fats, and carbs. Whereas today you got everything from, you name it, keto to, you know, the spectrum is endless.
Fill in the blank. Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, that was the beauty of Extra Lean.
What exactly did you study, or what was your title that, I mean, aside from being a great writer and in this space and this consuming your life for many years?
Well, in the 90s, I got my master's degree of clinical exercise physiology, and I published a thesis on the effects of endurance training on muscle size and strength in competitive athletes. So right out of college, I was into fitness and into strength and conditioning. And, you know,
were you always into writing as well, or no?
Well, in fact, that month I presented that thesis and Muscle and Fitness magazine, they were in the audience, and they said, hey, why don't you be a freelance science guy for us. And I said, yeah, that was in like 99. And then for the, yeah, for the next few years, that's all I did. Every month.
And you just kind of became a writer.
Yeah, became a writer. Wow. I was like the worst student in my class. I was like the worst writer.
But you went to Baylor, right?
Yep, Baylor, and then the UT system for my graduate work.
Yeah.
Never in a million years did I figure out to be a writer, but had a knack for it.
Yeah, no, it worked out. And obviously, health and fitness is a top priority in my life, and I've never appreciated it more than I do now, because it's something I want to get into, man. That's really been, and I've been wanting to talk to you about it. Okay, 45 now, right? Going to be 46 this year. Dude, my fucking body, and I'm, pardon me for getting, it is, I'm battling like depression and frustration and a lot of angst because it is slowly breaking down on me. Remember the movie The Blues Brothers, when that car at the end of the movie goes through that big chase and then it just sort of completely falls apart? Remember that?
I'm tracking, but I didn't see the movie.
How can you not see The Blues Brothers? What is the matter with you? You've never seen The Blues Brothers?
Don't get off track, man.
Joey, now you've thrown everything off in my whole thing. Oh my God, now I got to pull it up just to show you. Anyway, the car completely just goes through like one of the best car chases on film history. I'm dating myself, but it's a classic film. And then it just implodes. It just right. breaks down. That's how my body feels right now. From my Achilles rupture, which was severe, which is about the worst injury you can get as an athlete. Yeah. Just as I was getting over that, then I get stupid carpal tunnel. And then I got a damaged nerve in my neck, which has basically paralyzed my arm. I haven't been able to work out upper body for 2 weeks now. And I can't do the things that I love. I can't box. I can't do jujitsu. I can't. And I always say, you know, I don't work out for vanity. I work out for sanity. I want to, it helps me relieve my stress. It helps me just chill out and not take it out on like my old lady at home or the kids or anything. It just helps me kind of add balance, because every day I'm getting pulled in 100 different directions. I'm juggling 100 things, and I like that. I like being busy. I like the chaos. But that was like my little out. Whenever I can carve that out, I did that, and it was very therapeutic for me. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm not able to do the things that I love to do on a regular, or I'm having to reconsider my approach, and I don't want to get into damn golf. I always said I was going to play golf when my body was broken down and decrepit. I feel too young. I want to be that old guy at the gym that you're still sparring with. I want to be able to roll around. I want to get with my kids. It's really kind of fuck with my head.
Well, we'll see you at your golf tournament.
Yeah. Well, I have a golf tournament, and that ironically is to benefit the Children's Hospital where my kids are born, and does a lot of good. So I do that just because I know it's great revenue for helping a lot of kids. And helping people. But I put it out there. I'm not a golfer, but just I'm all about the celebration. But I can host, and I'll make sure people have a good time. So I just like, it's hard to wrap my head around that you have to be willing to, sort of accept how your life comes at you and the way your body just is you're not 25 anymore.
I mean, you're breaking down. We're breaking down. You're coming to grips with that. I mean, I unfortunately came to grips with it, a few years ago, had to, you know,
you had a much more severe situation.
Yeah, yeah. But we're in a broken world, man. We're in a broken world. You know, I approach it with a Christian mindset. You know, we're in a broken world, and our bodies follow suit. Our bodies, like you said, I've heard you say, like, my body's betraying me. No, your body is just, it's doing exactly what it's supposed to do. And you have to come to grips with it. And I know you're a fighter. And you're going to, man, I'm going to fight this tooth and nail, which I think is fine. I think we should fight it tooth and nail. And I think we should take care of ourselves, because the thing is, health is a gift. You know, we bust Tootie's chops about, you know, his weight, and we have to take care of yourself, Tootie. But, you know, there's some truth. Honestly, there's some truth to the fact that, you know, I've got a brother who, he doesn't have a thing in the world wrong with him. He's perfectly healthy, but doesn't take care of himself. It's a gift.
Like my dad. Yeah. My dad gets checks up. He's fine. The guy drinks and smokes every day.
Yeah, right. But it is a gift.
Right, bacon every day.
But it is a gift. And some people will say, well, you earn your body. That's not true. Like, you work hard. You know, very few people work as hard as you do in the gym, in the ring, you name it. But you don't earn your body. It's a gift. Even the ability to do what you do is a gift. The byproducts are gifts. You know, a lot of people can't move at all, right? And so you think about, hey, I can't do what I used to do you know, the thing is, how you handle that is a maturity. It's a mindset. It's a paradigm shift. Like, dang, you know what? It was a gift from God, and I'm going to take care of myself as best I can right now. And have it coming to grips with that allows you to kind of be an influence on others who are going through, you know, the tough stuff. You're never going to be Mario Lopez of yesterday. In fact, we used to say, you know, just beat yesterday's best. You know what? That's crap. You know, it's not about beating yesterday's best. It's actually, there's going to come a day, Lopez, where you can't beat yesterday's best. And that's tough for you to handle.
Well, it is. I mean, I like going out there and sparring with these guys in their 20s and still, you know, whooping their ass most of the time. It makes me feel young. Mm-hmm. I feel young. I feel alive. Yep. It gives me that sort of kind of, I don't know if it's just that primal sort of thing that a man has where you just, for me, it just makes me feel, and to not be able to do that, I feel like less of a man. I feel like weak.
Yeah,
well, it sucks. And I have small kids,
but here's
and I'm going to have another kid coming up. I got to be able to wrestle with them. I got to be able to do stuff that I want to do with them.
Well, they'll still be small for a while, so you'll be able to.
Well, but like, it's not like most of my other cousins who got married young and their kids are all now getting in college and they're all that, you know what I mean? I got a little bit late start, and especially for a Mexican. So,
you know, it's funny, you know, you mentioned the weakness. I remember back when I was the fitness editor for Muscle and Fitness magazine. Like, I had one of the nicest titles in all of fitness publishing, right? And I was thinking, like, what am I doing? I was having some hollowness and deadness in my work. I really felt like, what am I doing that really means something? And so I started scribbling some dreams and of faith and fitness. And I started to go in different directions with my mind. And I reached out to this friend who has a real influence and a real platform for college students. His name's Louis Giglio. And I said, hey, dude, I want to make an impact for people's lives in the area of fitness. And he says, hey, Jimmy, the thing you need to do is embrace your smallness, embrace your weakness. And at the time, I mean, I was put together at the time. I was squatting and benching. And I thought, you know what? He could have been speaking Yiddish. I wouldn't have understood. You know, I didn't get it. It didn't compute. It didn't make sense until I got sick.
Yeah.
And I started to break down. My spine started to break down. I started, you know, I realized I had.
Was that a degenerative thing? I can't remember.
An accelerated degenerative spinal disease. So I started losing spinal discs, had my neck replaced with artificial discs. My lower back was replaced. And then I had, in between those surgeries, I had a unforeseen, embarrassing colon infirmity that had some reconstruction up in the unknown, which, you know, I would give you every spinal disc I have.
So you've been through some shit. Yeah, literally. Yeah.
Thank you for that.
No, but in all seriousness, that's some severe stuff that kind of makes me put in perspective, like, okay, well.
And so when the doctors say, hey, you know, you're never going to train again, you're never going to lift again, I have a 20 pound limit.
Look at that. That's the Muscle and Fitness editor, right? Damn. That's.
And so what is a fitness expert to do with such truth and realization? You're like, whoa, you got to embrace your weakness. Realize, you know what? You broke down a lot sooner than most people. And what are you going to do with it? What kind of a man am I? Am I going to be a fighter and really have perspective, or am I going to, you know, I'm going to wallow? And I thought, no way, I'm going to. So that's why I just want to help people have a perspective that health is a gift. Take care of yourself. Realize that the health that you're receiving, or even the ability to train, that's a gift too. And so use your energy. I think I wasted a lot of health on fitness. I think I wasted a lot of time trying to, you know, build my biceps. I think I could have done a lot of good for people had I had this perspective, you know, back in my 20s and 30s. It changes your life, man, when you go through stuff.
I always say, if you don't have your health, then what good is anything else? That should be your number one priority. You know, I was thinking of all the different injuries that lately, and they're all, I chose like violent hobbies, I guess, with the boxing and jujitsu, but torn rotator, broken rib, the 8 staples on my head, all that stuff. You know
what
I mean?
Speaking of broken rib, this guy broke my rib.
Oh my God. So I barely hit you that day.
Okay. So
we were sparring
first time.
I barely hit you, Peña. You know what? We were getting back. Cause you were, let me set it up. You said it.
That is so wrong.
He said, you can't. He goes, I'll go in there. And he goes, you won't be able to drop me in one. Right. I go, that's exactly what you said. You said you won't be able to drop me. He said, I'm not going to try to drop you. You're my friend. I'm going to drop you. And he goes, but you won't be able to do it. I said, all right, well then come in. Tell him what happened.
Okay. It's complete false.
That's your. you're such a liar.
He was busting my chops about you're a fitness guy. You think you can handle it in the ring? And I said, I can handle it in the ring. I'm not a boxer. So come on, Pena. It'll be fun. Ha ha ha. So we get
First
in the
of all,
ring.
I never said you're such a liar.
I believe,
you were saying you
I
didn't want
Pena
it. Because
right.
I used to call Pena porcelain.
<That's> right.
Go ahead.
Do I get in the ring and no mouthpiece?
You're
mind
so
you, mind you, no
stupid.
Mouthpiece.
I didn't even hit you. Go on.
So anyway, he starts to just haul off.
Oh, shut up, Pena.
He was like,
I did
really?
Not wail. I did, if I would have wailed, bro, with all due respect, it wouldn't be.
Honestly,
you would have been a lot worse than just a broken rib.
In fact, we were supposed to go to Vegas that weekend. And I couldn't go. I couldn't move.
I said, I didn't know he didn't. I knew he didn't have any mouthpieces. I'm going to hit him
so
hard.
I had like
so I gave him a couple body shots, barely touched him.
No.
And I barely touched him. The guy is like paper mache. He just folded like a chair. And then he said, and he goes, I can't breathe. And so later on, he told me I broke his rib. I go, damn. I said, are you sure it was me? Because I barely touched you.
To this day, it's like a floating bruise.
Barely touched him. And
anyway,
see, you're going on your right side, Mike. And I usually go for the left side. See, that's how I know you're lying.
No, I'm actually feeling the good side. just to remember what it felt like
you're
to
so
be pain free.
See, we're digressing. But no, man, here's the thing. I've kind of come full circle too. And I'm like, look, I don't want to change. I don't want to stop doing things I love, but I have to be smarter in putting things in perspective. I have to stretch. I have to be properly warmed up. I don't have to spar 2-3 times a week. Once a week is fine. I could dial it down, at least right now. I refuse to accept that I'm getting older to the point where I can no longer do the things that I love to do that make me feel the best. Okay?
You can refuse it all you want, but you're going to have to accept certain things.
Well, I mean, just said, I was sparring, like I would either spar jujitsu or boxing every day. That's getting in a fight every day. I can't do that anymore.
Right.
So now I'm going to do it like once, twice a week, maybe. You know what I mean? Hopefully that's enough.
Yeah.
And the level of intensity, not as many rounds and da 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 da, all that sort of thing. So it just, that's the one thing that I saw. All the other stuff getting pulled, that's the one thing because you can't control it.
Yep.
I hate being in things that you can't.
You said earlier it's not about vanity
control.
At all. I think for me it was about vanity in many ways. You know, you say it's for your sanity. Well, I kind of came to grips that, you know, God, his sovereignty and him being in control became my sanity because I was all wrapped up in fitness. I was all wrapped up in my body. Like,
well, that was your career.
That was. It was my career. It was my a lot of my self-esteem. I mean, even though I was a Christian and I had given my life to Christ, and you know, I was like, you know, I was still very insecure. And then, like, I lost it all. I couldn't, you know, couldn't train, couldn't go to the bathroom. So many things were not happening well for Pena. So I had to come to grips with my smallness and, like, wow, you know, I really am at the mercy of God. And so I just said, you know what? I realize, you know, my place.
I want to get into building spiritual muscle in a sec. But before we go there, just people to leave them with a little something. You know, because people come up to me and say, so what's the best thing I could do? Do you really like, is boxing things going to change a lot? Or would I start rolling? And I've always, you know, what I tell people is it doesn't matter what you do, as long as you do something and you're consistent with it.
Yeah.
I could tell you go box, if you don't like it or if it's not, it's pretty physical and violent. What good is that going to do? Whether it's running or swimming or dancing, whatever is going to get you up and motivated to do consistently, that's what I tell you to do. You just got to get up and break a sweat. And that's the discipline that's required. I mean, don't you agree?
Yeah. The most effective.
There is no one trick.
Right. No. The most effective form of exercise you can do is the one that you'll do. That's true.
Exactly. That's a perfect way to put it.
Yeah, yeah. Never use 10 words when 5 will do. I always tell you, sound bites.
Sound bites. He's breaking my balls. He's always telling me he's long-winded. But that was a person. You've gotten much better.
Thank you.
With your sound bites. You don't have to be. We're on a podcast. Now you can be your normal.
Oh, now?
Yeah, now you
after
can.
After 15
like,
years?
Your long-winded self. after this. Okay. So yeah, do what your body. I like what you just said.
Absolutely.
Give me that quote again. Do you remember?
No.
The best exercise.
The most effective exercise you can do is the one you'll do.
Is the one you'll do.
That's right.
Every day.
And make a habit of and enjoy.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because that's okay. And you, dude, you're going to have to, like, you might have to get into, like, stretching and yoga.
No, I do. I do. I mix it up. I have to mix it up more. But I do mix. I do. I like doing those spin classes. I like going on hikes. Mm-hmm. I like biking. I do like mixing. I like swimming.
You're
going
to have to come to grips with, you know, you're going to lose size. You know, I know that bugs you.
No, I'm not. I'm not 18 anymore. Where I was trying to, you know what I mean? I'm fine. Yeah. I'm like, dude, I can't be the old guy with a, you know what I mean? No.
But so, a lot of things that we have to.
I don't like to lose strength is what pisses me off. I've always been strong. Yeah. I've always been able to have, you know what I mean? Yeah. I don't like to feel weak. I don't like to. You know what I mean? That's what pisses. I know maybe that's an ego thing. I don't know. But I just like I walk around irritable. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm a pretty happy guy, as you know, but now I'm a little edgier.
You can't find, you cannot base your happiness on something you'll lose. Mm. You know, I mean, C.S. Lewis made that clear. You can't base your joy on something that you can lose. And like your strength, you can't base your, you know, walking around happy based on your strength because you're getting weaker every single day and you're going to have to like, you know.
Don't let the things that you can't control take over or consume your life.
Yeah, no. And
I know. Like, I just, it's hard because you want to like apply those methods of the secrets to refuse, but you got to be realistic.
Yeah. You know, you have to base your joy on things that you know, that are forever, you know,
right.
Like for me, just personally, my joy comes from God, and like I'll never lose Jesus, right? And those are kinds of like a little too lofty or too whatever, too heavenly minded. No, I mean honestly, I have to go there. I have to go there, especially dealing with illness or whatever life throws at you. I've got to go there.
Well, okay, let's go there right now because that's one of the things where I think we got close quick, even though it's been 15 years, is because I'm pretty good at reading people judging their character and picking up on that. And I've always had that intuition. I think my dad, I get that from my dad a little bit, but you were authentic from the get, but I also like that you were pretty open and vocal about your faith, which is nice, which I'm a man of faith as well. I don't vocalize it as much, but I'm not ashamed of it either. I put it out there, whether it's social media or what have you, but it's rare where you find other guys that feel the same way and that you can actually talk to. We've always been able to have those conversations. I look forward to them.
Yeah.
Helps put things in perspective, gives you clarity on life. Talk about strength. You feel stronger once you know you're sort of anchored with that. And I've always appreciated that of you. And going through, like what you said, when we're replacing your neck, your back, and the issues you had, man, I know how much you turn to it and how much it it really got you through those times. And another thing I thought was really cool that I know you're still involved in and I'm a big advocate for is PrayFit, where you are essentially, and correct me if I'm wrong, but guiding people through building both physical muscle and spiritual muscle, right?
Yeah, that's exactly.
That's the goal?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, PrayFit started, you know, after 5 years with M&F here in LA, there was a big layoff. And then we started PrayFit.org. We just wanted to, you know, help people see health through the gospel's lens. What's health for? You know, take care of yourself. It was dual. We wanted the fitness industry to kind of get over itself a little bit and kind of have some humility, but also we wanted the church and people of faith to take care of themselves and see their bodies as stewardship. And then
I love
when I got sick, we started talking about both health and illness. Both are ways that we can, approach life and really have to use, you know, anchor ourselves in the gospel to be able to get through the highs and lows of life. So that's PrayFit has changed over the years to help both the sick and the fit, get through each day. Cause that's what it's all about. So PrayFit now, you know, we've dedicated PrayFit to people affected by disability. So, that's what we're all about.
And then do you find that through social media and since you've launched that more men are now, because I feel like women are more comfortable always speaking on it, but I don't find too many men that are, unfortunately, are as comfortable as kind of speaking about their faith or really sort of keeping themselves accountable in walking that Christian walk. Is it getting better? Do you think? Why do you think it's still? I mean, it almost seems like we've become a society too, where it's almost, I don't want to say a war against Christianity, but it's not as embraced.
Yeah. Well, I think there is a war. I mean, in many ways, there is a war against Christianity. I just think, you mentioned Christ or you mentioned Christianity and
it becomes polarizing.
You a little bit.
Isn't that, but that's so sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's not what, first of all, this country was built on. And then it's just not, it's sad that it's not, that it's looked at almost in a negative way.
Right. It's looked at in a negative way, like, oh, then you must be...
Right. You're immediately labeled.
Against me or whatever it might be. But we do have quite a bit, you know, Prayfit's population or Prayfit's following is the majority are women, highly vocal, you know, on fire about their faith. But we do have, you know, gentlemen that are on fire as well. But you're right. It's polarizing. But I think,
why do you think that is?
Well, I mean, the Bible says we're going to face, you know, we're going to face opposition, in this life, in this world. You know, Jesus himself said, you know, the world's going to hate you. And we have to, you know, whose side are we on? You know, and so in becoming a follower of Christ, you're going to face that kind of opposition. You just have to, but the key is to love people. Like Christians, we got to love people that think, you know, differently than us. And we have to just, you know, be good examples and treat everyone fairly and treat everyone, you know, with respect and dignity.
When we talk about strength, it requires a certain strength, large amount of strength.
Yeah. And, you know, Paul himself. Talk about strength. Paul, the greatest evangelist of all time, you know, talked about, hey, I'm going to embrace my weakness. We talk about weakness and, you know, he went through some really tough stuff.
You talk about the apostle?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know Paul, like some homie, I don't know.
No, okay, no. When I say the greatest evangelist of all time. Yeah. The apostle Paul. I mean, he said, I'm going to celebrate and embrace my weakness. I'm going to boast in my weakness because that's when that really gives the context for us. Because then he said, that's when I realized my true strength. Mm. You know, I mean, the writer and speaker Paul Tripp says, you know, weakness wasn't the end of me, it was the beginning. Mm. And for me personally, weakness in the midst of the M&F days and the books and you name it, weakness was my beginning. Weakness is when I really became a man. And I really started to have my wits about me. True story.
Wow. How low did it get for you when you were going through all the physical stuff? Because I remember I wanted to ask, but I didn't want to harp on it because I know it was tough and, you know, I didn't want to contribute to you feeling worse about yourself and stuff. So,
well, I mean, I retreated. I pretty much went into isolation and it's one of the worst things you can do.
Because I remember not to interrupt, I'm sorry, but just I remembered, and I hope I'm not oversharing here, but I remember when you told me you had to go to the restroom. You had to sit in the tub for like a half hour, right?
Longer than that.
Go. Bro, I wake up, I'm like a pigeon. I got to go. And so I cannot imagine if I had to go sit in the tub for really.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Wow, that's
mean
one.
I would find.
Mario can barely make it to work without going in his pants.
No, but I'll never forget you telling me that. He goes, you got to sit in the tub. I go, before you got to go? Really? Damn.
It was interesting. Because
that requires a lot.
We all have involuntary and voluntary muscles way up in the unknown. And I had muscles that were involuntary, you know, taken on a mind of their own. And that's like a bad scenario. So when you're in spasm and whatnot, anyway, long story short, I was unable to function. And so, it was hell every day. And I had to resort to actually not only lying in the bathtub, but I would spend all my time in the bathtub. I would literally, in fact, I reached rock bottom, when I was lying in my bathtub full of waste and blood. And I was actually apologizing to my body. I was actually, you know, our soul and our bodies were together. Right. And so I was actually apologizing to my body. Like, I'm so sorry that you're going through this. I really like it was a friend, right?
Yeah.
And I remember just crying and just thinking, that's it. I'm done. I have no strength left.
How'd you get through
it? If I ever get up, I ever hope and rise and speak and smile again, it's not going to be because of my faith. It's not going to be because of my, you know, gut summon passion of belief. No, it's going to be by the grace of God if I get out of this bathtub.
And you made it out.
Yeah, I made it out.
Wow.
And I went through a very difficult surgery, risky surgery, 50% whether or not I'd have to forever have a bag. But the involuntary muscles came back and I spent 16 weeks at home, couldn't move, couldn't be seen. And then went to the doctor and yes, we're having some life up there. And so in fact, the first time out of the gates, Loretta and I went to see The Dark Knight Rises, and we got Bruce Wayne down in the prison, right? And he's trying to climb this wall. I don't know if you remember the scene. Yeah. He's trying to get out of this. And till finally, they said, you got to climb without the rope. And as he's climbing up, he says, "Hey, what are they saying?" And he says, "They're saying rise." And I've just tears running down my face. He gets up that, and then he throws the rope down into the prison. And I said, "That's why I called our conference Pray Fit Rise." You didn't know that. That's why I called the conference Pray Fit Rise.
Batman.
Yeah, because I am Batman. So God healed me just by His grace. And I said, I'll never take my health for granted. I'll never see it as anything other than a gift. And I want to help people go through tough stuff, no matter what it is.
That's exactly what it is, a gift. Absolutely. And one that I can appreciate more than ever. Yeah. Wow, man. And such good advice too. You gotta embrace the weaknesses, recognize them, embrace them, and we'll do something about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you embrace that weakness, you can deflect. You can deflect, like, you know what? I'm in the mercy of someone much, much stronger than me.
Right.
And I'm gonna help you. I'm gonna do my best. And see, fighting through, like when you fight through, and you're an example to millions of people in the area of health, wellness, you name it, right? And as you battle through and work around and modify, you're going to be a better example to your fan base, your audience, you name it. You're going to be a much stronger, poignant, piercing example to them to get through stuff in their life than had you not gone through some of your illnesses and injuries and surgeries. So you're going to be an example in all sorts of ways.
I continue to try to, at least, represent being a good Catholic Christian as much as I can. Because like you said, it is met with a certain sense of hesitance sometimes. They don't want you hitting anybody over the head with a Bible, right? But at the same time, I get a lot of support from people saying, "Hey, you know what? I appreciate that you put it out there," because a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
So I want to continue. And as I've gotten older too, I've also continued to try to build a more spiritual muscle, but you know, it's tough. And I know we've talked about it, cause it's tough. You've obviously always got certain distractions or temptations, but, I always circle back, you know, and even if I stumble or take a step back, then, you know, I always make sure to kind of keep getting right on back. And I think it's important to have other men or people in your life that can hold you accountable. And like that old saying goes, like, one stone sharpens another.
Iron sharpens iron.
Iron sharpens iron, man sharpens man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like the Bible says, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short, right? And so that's the good news. Actually, that's the gospel. To be honest, you know, at Prayfield, we talk a lot about that. You know, hey, listen, we're all going to fail. We fail even when we don't know we're failing, right? And so that's the good news about Christ. And that's, we celebrate that because he lived a perfect life, right? Mm-hmm. And he lived the life you, Mario, and me, Jimmy, we couldn't live. So he lived perfectly and died perfectly. When we accept his sacrifice, we accept his life, you know, God sees us through the blood of Christ. And so we can live like abundantly. We can live with fire and passion. Yes, we're going to fail, you know, in our minds, in our thoughts, in our deeds, we're going to screw up. But thankfully he forgives us and we can press forward. So, I think Christians, you know, that you talk about the stigma or the polarized, you know, one thing that Christianity, we can't do is look down and try and pretend that we're perfect, because we're actually not. I think we're,
you're practicing Catholic.
Yeah, yeah, practicing. Absolutely.
Like you're practicing.
Yeah,
all the time.
Absolutely. You know, and, thankfully, you know, God doesn't love us anymore if we do well or if we do poorly. Thankfully he loves us as much as he loves Christ. And that's very refreshing. And that's why we can go through tough stuff, illnesses and you name
right.
it, business. We can go through tough stuff because of our acceptance from him.
Yeah. No, that was important for me to raise my kids with a faith-based education and have some sort of infrastructure. I know it's a very personal thing for people, but, you know, again, I commend you you continue to walk that walk. And I appreciate our conversations when we go there. Yep. I want to get into specifically what you're doing now with these people. And we're talking about people, challenges and overcoming some stuff. Talk a little bit about this disability space and what you're into.
Yeah, thanks. You know, a couple years ago, when we turned PrayFit into more of a disability focused, in fact, you were so sweet to help promote the 5K that benefited kids affected by disability. And so we said, you know what? this is really what we're about. This is what my health is for, to help those that are really going through some tough stuff, or, you know, kids and families that need, you know, really some extra care. And, you know, so we dedicated it to disability and special needs. Well, about a year ago, I saw that there's this really great nonprofit here in LA called Johnny and Friends, J-O-N-I, johnnyandfriends.org. And the founder is Johnny Erickson Tata. She's like the second longest living quadriplegic in the world. And she had a diving accident 55 plus years ago and broke her neck.
Ooh.
And
in a pool, diving off a cliff?
In a lake. I'm just curious.
So when you, because hitting the water or something in the water?
I think she jumped in a shallow part of a
lake. Oh, got it.
And snapped her spine.
Wow.
Yeah, it's funny. I was just, when you asked that question, it made me think, I moved to LA to work for a man who was like the best at forming, shaping,
Joe
training.
Weider, right?
Yeah, Joe Weider, showing muscle. Now I work for a woman that can't move a one.
Wow.
It's crazy, the spectrum yeah. of, like, right now I'm celebrating the fact that I get to serve alongside this lady that's been doing so much. So anyway, not to get off track, but so anyway, Johnny.
So she had this accident.
She had the accident. And a few years later, her story, basically she started writing people, and people started writing her about her accident and people going through tough stuff. And she gained some exposure. Billy Graham actually had her on his crusade. She helped form the ADA. A lot of things happened in her life. And she started this ministry called Johnny and Friends, where people all around the world really started writing in, needing some comfort and encouragement. And
a community for specifically.
Yep. For people, whether it be, you know, Down syndrome to autism to, you know, actual spinal cord injury. And she started sending wheelchairs around the world. And so she's we're about to reach 200,000 wheelchairs being sent around the world.
Wow, that's awesome.
That's crazy. We're in 33 countries. So we have programs all over the country. My job really is, I'm like the West Coast guy for Johnny and Friends. And we raise money, we raise awareness for kids and families impacted by disability, and it's a great gig.
Talk about God's work.
Yeah, it's totally, yeah, no.
That would be so gratifying.
I didn't get this far in my dreams.
Yeah, that's awesome, true. Man. That's awesome.
Yeah,
so,
it's really cool.
And being able to do what you love and something you believe in is passion as far as helping people and in this space and physically still, and with PrayFit coming to bring it full circle.
Yeah, it's full circle.
That's
and
great.
And at PrayFit, you know, I ride at night and I ride on the weekends and we do things with, and PrayFit still going strong. That community
write every
growing.
Day. I remember you write every day.
Yeah, that's right. You know, every and day. That's my outlet. Yeah. But during the day, I get to serve with Johnny Erickson Tata. It's pretty awesome.
What have you learned about people with disabilities that you didn't know before that surprised you?
Oh man, you know, I don't think I've ever been closer to God than when I'm with kids and families affected by special needs. I think it is so amazing. I work with this boy Jordan. He's got autism, severe autism, and I've been working with him for almost 5 years every month. And we hang, we hang out for a few hours. He and a bunch of his friends, just so his parents can go and have a date, go to the store, have a nap. You know, it's a respite program. Mm. And when I'm with Jordan and I see him, you know, he asks me 500 questions in a matter of, you know, a couple of hours, and I answer every single one of them, and I stay engaged with him, and I just love him to death. And he inspired much of what we're doing at you know, at PrayFit, and he inspired me to even be, you know, there at Johnny and Friends. I just learned that a couple things, that our communities, even our churches, don't accept and invite people affected by disability as much as you would think.
Huh.
Yeah. And so one of the causes that we're about is really, really demonstrating and really opening up the eyes of churches and leaders in churches that, hey, listen, there's a entire community around us, that people that need the gospel, people that need to hear about Jesus, people that need just welcoming, and people that need programs of comfort. And so a big part of the job is knocking on doors and saying, hey, do you guys have a disability program? You know, do you need any help in establishing a special needs division? You know, so it's you know, so my eyes have been open to how marginalized the disability community is and can be, and but also just how sweet and awesome they are and how capable, you know, that they, yeah. you know, it's just a, I've just fallen in love with everyone.
That's awesome. That. That's so, yeah. really, really cool, yeah. man. Proud
yeah.
of you.
Yeah, thanks.
Last thing I want to talk about, probably the most important, your bocce game. You mm-hmm. go next level with the intensity and the passion, and I love it. I'm here for it. You won the last time, didn't you, you rat bastard?
Okay, listen to me.
Seriously, how much do you love the bocce tournaments?
It's pretty much the best time of the year when we do bocce.
He is focused, but game face. Look at the whole thing.
Listen, we anticipate it. We think about it. We look forward. But you know what? I am actually I'm the best on the court. I have not walked off the court.
You along with like 20 other people think they're the best. But you know what? That's real talk. You have not walked off the court as a loser. You won like the last couple.
Yeah, that's right. I not only did I win the group, but then the last time we were on, I said, hey, let's go 1-on-1. Boom. I wiped the court with you, and I went home with the trophy.
Again. There goes with his tall
Come
tales.
On, you know it's true.
We've never played 1-on-1 in our life. We're gonna put a little wager, and I might like live stream it or something just so people can see.
I hope.
But we're friends. I don't want to do that to embarrass you.
I know.
You better. You know what you better do before that? You better pray before we start playing. I'm looking forward to that.
Me too.
Coming up next, man, and. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm glad we got to hang. Yeah. And if people want to find out more about PrayFit, which I just think is awesome, and Johnny and Friends, where can they go, Pena?
Absolutely. PrayFit.org or JohnnyandFriends.org. Great opportunities to get involved right there.
Listen to Mario!
So don't forget, new episodes of Listen to Mario dropping every Friday on WithMario.com to catch up on the podcast. And please make sure you follow Listen to Mario on iHeartRadio and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get podcasts. More fun next week. Thank you so much for listening.